It is my absolute honour to introduce our guest speaker, Rochelle Courtney. After reading in 2015 that homeless women Australia-wide were making sanitary pads out of public restroom toilet paper because they couldn't afford to buy them, Rochelle Courtney started a sanitary collection in her Brisbane neighbourhood. She donated those items to a local women's shelter. Through demand, the not-for-profit charity Share the Dignity was born, providing homeless and at-risk women Australia-wide with sanitary items. More than 4,600 volunteers and some of Australia's biggest corporates are now behind the charity, which has collected in excess of 19 million packets of sanitary items since its formation. Rochelle, affectionately known as the Pad Lady, designed the world's first Dignity vending machine known as the Pink Box. The vending machines are purposely designed to dispense a free period pack of sanitary items. By the end of 2019, there will be 150 Pink Boxes installed in poverty-stricken schools, homeless centres, domestic violence shelters, and areas impacted by poverty Australia-wide. Share the Dignity runs a range of annual events to support their work, including Dignities, two Dignity Drives, Yoga for Dignity, Run for Dignity, and the It's in the Bag Christmas campaign. Share the Dignity now also has an online shop that sells handbags with heart. Please make Rochelle welcome.
Well, I am the Pad Lady. I'm probably the only person you'll ever meet called the Pad Lady, right? So I am simply just a mum from Sandgate. My kids are 22 and 21. The youngest, otherwise known as Satan, is just like her mother. I had my own personal training business many years ago for a long time, and when I read that very first article, I thought, oh, cool, I'll get my clients to bring me a packet of pads or tampons for every wine they have that month. Well, I did really well, and that's why they kept coming back to me all the time, because I really liked the wine and all the bits that went with that. So we collected about 450 packets of pads and tampons, and we then gave them out to five different local charities. But it wasn't like we were giving somebody a warm jacket and it kept her warm for years. This was a monthly problem, and to be really honest, the problem is so much greater than I ever imagined. So when I very first read that first article, it said that there were 44,000 women who were experiencing homelessness in Australia. This was in 2015. If I flip to now, last year 173,000 women, just like you and I, experienced homelessness and turned to homelessness services in Australia. That is like filling Suncorp Stadium twice over with women that have fled domestic violence or extreme poverty, with 3.2 million Australians now living under the poverty line. You've got to assume that at least 1 million of those are women who get their period like the rest of us, right? And the stories that we hear when women are talking about what do they do if they can't afford them, women are using socks and newspaper and wadded up toilet paper. We recently met this amazing young woman who, there always seems to be a story behind every woman who's experiencing homelessness and fled domestic violence. And this young girl, unfortunately, she had had the most horrible upbringing. At 8 years old, was sold for sex by her mother. And I don't know how you ever get over the trauma of that in the first place. And then when she ran away, how does a child not just fall out of the school system and no one even notices in the first place? She ended up being a 14-year-old, then having a relationship with a 35-year-old man, because that's probably what she thought was normal. How does society even allow, how did no one ever notice that in the first place, that here's a child that has come out of school and then ends up in a relationship? Anyway, that ended up being a domestic violence, because that's clearly not a normal relationship to have. And she said to me, I said to her, have you ever had to go without the basic of necessities? And when I was talking to her, many times I've met lots of people that have told me harrowing stories, but I've never not been able to get my own breath and ask another question. And just, I was just overwhelmed with her story. And she used to go to the laundromat and get the socks out of the laundromat to deal with her period, so that was all she had when she lived on the streets. I was like, the stories that you continue to hear are overwhelming. I was in Catherine not very earlier in the year, and a woman told me how they pulled out mattress foam to deal with their period because they just didn't have anything else. So nearly five years on, we haven't collected 19 million packets of pads and tampons. I wish we had, right? But we haven't. We've nearly collected 2.5 million. I think it might have said 1.9. Yeah, no, that's fine. I wish that we'd collected 19 million. We will get there. I wish that we weren't needed in the first place, but that's never really going to happen. So we collect in April and August every year, and collection boxes go out all over Australia. So this year we had Woolworths come on board, and they donate now 5 cents from the sale of every product of sanitary items in the Woolworths store. So even 365 days a year while you're getting your sanitary items, you can actually help another woman in need. And that allows us to be able to purchase more product and stock the machines and buy more machines. But in offices around Australia, and that's where it started. It started on our verandas, then it went out to offices all over Australia. I needed that to know that we were talking to those businesses that were already speaking to women, because I don't think that there is a woman in Australia who wouldn't be empathetic with another woman having to use socks or newspaper to deal with her period. So my number one goal wasn't always just to collect the pads and tampons. It was to make sure that there wasn't a woman in Australia who didn't know about Share the Dignity. So I'm 1/10 of the way to where I need to be. To do what we need to do. Had anyone heard of Share the Dignity before today? Which is super cool, right? But there's still so many people who need to know that this is an issue in Australia. And it's one of those icky issues that no one wants to talk about, right? But if we can remove the shame and the stigma around menstruation, then we actually can try to address period poverty in itself. So we do those collection drives a year. To be honest, in August this year, we collected 207,000 packets of pads and tampons in our collection drive. It was our biggest collection drive we'd ever done, which was amazing. We were high-fiving ourselves. But to be honest, only enough to help 50,000 women for 4 months. We don't have any stock left in anywhere in Australia. So we've got Weeper asking for, do you have any more stock? And we do this whole drug trade of pads in the back of vans from Shiro's around Australia. They're our volunteers. So we actually have nearly 6,000 volunteers around Australia that we call Shiro's, and we probably have about 50 heroes in there. And they do anything from picking up the sanitary items and sorting through the bags and getting them out to charities, to one of our ladies helps me, and there's a team of us, answer the 7,422 questions that gets asked on our Facebook page every day. But, you know, and one of the ladies there has no arms and no legs, and she just sits there with her Apple iPad and her pen, and she's never felt more valued in her life. So there's so many different ways that people can help us to share the dignity. I say the most powerful thing that you can do is have a conversation, because you don't know the next 10 women that may not have known about it, and then they may spread that to 10 more women, and that's the most powerful thing anyone can do. We do the It's in the Bag Christmas appeal, which is who bought a bag today? Thank you so much. They have such a huge impact, right? So we do this Christmas appeal called It's in the Bag, and it came after the charity was already established. And if I can rewind back to how did the charity even start, I had no idea what I was doing. At all. I made it up as I went, as I probably still do today, because there was no one who went, well, this is what you should do, and this is your next step, and this is how it should. I just simply surrounded myself with the most amazing women who knew how to do get shit done. And that was as simple as it was. They just knew how to do things. And my strength is not smart sheets or spreadsheets or Excel spreadsheets or any of that sort of thing. Or there's no way that Share the Dignity would be where it is now without having these amazing skill sets of all different women around Australia. So it is it's such an incredible thing when women come together, what extraordinary things can happen. So I stand here and speak about Share the Dignity like it's my baby, and it is my baby, but it has so many mothers. It is what I call the people's charity, where we've all just been able to put an impact on making a difference to women in Australia, because we all came with different skill sets. So if you could have a look at some of my social media tiles that we did back in the beginning when my daughter was in grade 10, on our social media page, you'd look at it now and go, oh my God. But now we've got branding, we've got style guide, we've got all of this. All of this is all done by volunteers who give up what they can to make a difference. And that for one mum may be 3 hours a week, and for another mum it may be 1 hour, and for somebody else it may be 5 hours. It is what it is, using their skill set. So It's in the Bag came about when I was cleaning my bathroom cupboard in November in 2015. Well, I didn't really give it too much thought. I thought, I'll clean this out. I'd been a netball coach all my life. So every year you just get piled with some more talcum powders and body lotions and deodorants and things like that. And same with, you know, being a trainer. And I had this abundance of stuff, and I thought, oh, I'm just going to take this down to the domestic, like a local domestic violence refuge. They would love that stuff. Anyway, and then I was cleaning out my handbags, and I happened to pop them all in the handbag, and then I took a photo, put it on social media, and at that stage we probably had about 12,000 people on our page. It went viral. I had no idea how we were going to do it, and I didn't really give it any thought. I have no risk. I have no adversity to risk whatsoever, so, which is great, right? My board don't think that's great now, but anyway, that's a whole different conversation. But now we look at having done our fifth It's in the Bag collection. We will have now collected over 500,000 of these bags. Now, these bags are just like one big handbag that has got a huge hug for a woman in need. Now, I remember meeting Jane, a woman who had been living in her car after fleeing domestic violence, and she was in Canberra, and she didn't know who would help her because she thought that her boys were going to get taken off her in the first instance. And so it was only happened to be that she was having a conversation with somebody, and they gave her this community service help, Anana, in Canberra. She ended up being allowed to go into that place on Christmas Eve, and she received a bag. In that bag, she will talk about the fact that there was a toothbrush and toothpaste, which she had not had for weeks. And the smell of Pantene, she said, I'll never forget the smell of Pantene after she'd not washed her hair for weeks. I'm such a sookie lala. I could tell you, I probably told this story 100,000 times, but I see her face when she's telling me. In that bag was a Rockman's gift voucher. It was $20. It was probably somebody's re-gift, right? She went into Rockman's at the end of January when her boys had gone back to school. She said, I was in the change room, and she said, I just felt like there was somebody else in there. There was a guardian angel with me. And she tried this black dress on. It was on sale. It was $20. She bought the dress, and she went for a job interview towards the end of February, and she got the job. And she and her boys moved out of that refuge by the Easter. And she said that she'd still be there if she didn't get that voucher, if she didn't feel like she had this confidence and this ability that people were supporting her. Now, that was a handbag. And it changed, she says, it changed her life. So in all of those 500,000 handbags are a story that somebody has received it. And, I say, putting together a handbag is a completely selfish event for me. I love putting it together. I love thinking about what would... So we do three different types of bags. We do a normal woman's bag and a teenage bag. And then this year and last year, much to the disgust of all of my volunteers, I went, oh, let's do a nappy bag. And that came about after a refuge had called me and said, oh, we've got this young lady who had been beaten and had the baby early and had nothing. Not that if she didn't have it early, she would have still had nothing anyway, because he controlled everything. And can we get her anything? And I said, oh, why don't we do nappy bags? So we now do nappy bags. But the story from there was that her lips were so cracked and sore And she had nothing for the baby. And so we now do nappy bags. So for a teen bag, you tie a yellow ribbon on, a nappy bag is a purple ribbon. When I went out and bought that nappy bag stuff, now my kids are much older, I was like the man in the tampon aisle. I had no idea what I needed. And it was like, it cost me about $240 to get just the basics of stuff for a nappy bag together. No wonder people couldn't afford them, right? So the nappy bags were a huge hit last year, and we collected about 2,000 around Australia. This year, we've just finished our collection drive last Saturday just gone, and we've now collected about 5,600 nappy bags. But the need from the charity, so we don't actually go and help the women on the streets. We actually work with the charities that are already out there, so with about 3,000 charities. And out of those 3,000 charities, they've ordered about 16,000 nappy bags for their clients, but we only have about 6,500 to give out. So they're obviously very valuable because they cost so much, but they also mean a lot to a young mum who has nothing. So we do those three drives every year, and then we do three major events in every year. So we do a high tea. Has anyone been to one of our high teas? So in Australia, we have 12 events across Australia, and they're simultaneous. They're on what's known as World Menstrual Hygiene Day. Of course there is, right? It's a day for everything. So we've really claimed that as our own day. And so on Sunday, May 26, we hold a high tea in Brisbane. It's at City Hall. And I think we fit 600 to 700 people in last year. It was amazing. And we had Rebecca Gibney, who's our ambassador, and we had one of the schools where we've put a vending machine in, and we also give the bags, and that's a school that works with young girls who are either coming out of the foster systems, don't have somewhere to live, have already got babies. So they're in a school where they're not fitting into the normal of schools. And one of the young girls there who got a bag last year was there when I went to the presentation this year, and she said, "When I got my bag last year, When I got my bag last year, there was a bottle of Giorgio perfume in there." She said, "My auntie used to wear that perfume, and her auntie had died when she was 12 of breast cancer, and she was the only person who looked after her, and she'd gone into foster care from there." And she said, "I spray that little bit of Giorgio, and I hope that it never ends, but I'll never get rid of that bag because I know that somebody..." Sorry, the perfume bottle, because I know that somebody cared about me. So those impacts of those bags, there are so many of those stories that I could share, and I know there's people crying in the room. You're not ugly crying like me, but they're so impactful. So we heard from the school who was on the stage, and then we also heard from one of the other young girls who had been homeless and received some help from Share the Dignity. And so the panel is really a discussion about... what we do, and you actually get to hear the stories from the women and the charities that we work with. So you laugh, you cry, and you have a great afternoon with your friends is the idea of that. And then we do Yoga for Dignity. So that is the last weekend in August. And we ask people to, you know what, more than 2 million people participate in yoga every year, right? Every week, to be honest. And they... And they're from a charity's perspective, there are always fun runs, there are always everything. I was like, well, why aren't we doing yoga? I did this yoga on the Shauncliffe Pier, and it was really serene, and there was 200 people on there, and I thought, when I stood up at the end, I was like, oh, imagine if all of Australia did this at the same time and we all downward dogged and united for every woman and child who didn't have somewhere safe to call home. And that's where the whole idea of the Yoga for Dignity came. And what we do is we ask yoga instructors to register a class, and then you and I, we just pick where our closest class is, pay our $20 and head to that class and share the dignity. So that's what Yoga for Dignity is. And Run for Dignity is a virtual event. So over the month of October, we ask teams, individuals to just walk, run, skip or hop or swim if you want to. So register yourself or a team, and it's a virtual event. So anyone in Australia goes on. It becomes a social media trending thing with their little hashtags. And so over the last couple of years, we've probably raised in excess of $400,000 from doing those events, just those run and yoga events, which is great. That helps us purchase more vending machines. So I don't keep any track of time, so if anyone wants to tap me, let me know. So the vending machine idea came about when, I'm just going to see if I can, there you go. That is a vending machine just there with the ladies. The vending machine came about when I was in a homelessness centre in Victoria, and I was standing behind the counter and this young lady came up. She was about 32. And there was only one other lady in the homelessness centre, and there was probably about 40 people in there. And she came up to the counter, and there were bars on the counter, and she said, "Oh, can I get some sanitary items, please?" And the two guys goes, "Do you know where the sanitary items are?" And he goes, "They're upstairs." So he went upstairs, he came back, and he goes, "Do you want pads or tampons?" I dead set would have died. I'm like, "Just give them both to her, please." I didn't say that because I was standing back there anyway. And she goes, "Oh, can I have both?" And he goes, "Can she have both?" I'm like, "Just give them to her, please." So he gave them to her, and I just thought there has to be a more dignified way, because I would never have gone up to that counter and asked for them. And I have a home in my own self-respect. Do you know what I mean? Like that was the problem. So the dignity vending machine happened on the flight on the way home. I'm like, that can't happen again. How do we make this happen? So I had a lot of no's when it came to the dignity vending machine, because vending machines are meant to make money. And our vending machine is free, and it also has a timing mechanism on it. So it means that I had this dream in the middle of the night. This is where the idea came from, and that all of them were all over the floor. So all of the packs were on the floor. And so the timing mechanism on them means that you can press them and a free period pack comes out, but then it's 10 minutes until the next one's dispensed. But they actually now have telemetry in them. So if they're a school and they're, for example, in Broome, and they go, "Oh, let's change that to 3 minutes," we can do that from our central location. We, as I said, we have 150 machines installed by the end of this year, which at $10,000 a pop, as a charity, that is not, we don't receive any government funding. All of our funding comes from our events and our own social enterprise, which is where we sell our own range of handbags, and people donating money to be able to allow us to do what we do. So those vending machines cost us $10,000, and then we have to make sure that they're fully stocked. So they go into poverty-stricken schools, into homelessness hubs, into community centres. So the 139 Club that's in the city, has in Fortitude Valley, has got one blind centre over here. Into hospitals in low social economic areas are also being installed in those machines, with those machines as well. So they are our, what we call our babies, the vending machines. And they are what we call them the pink box. And because I thought there was no better gift than that women get more excited about than the little blue Tiffany box, right? And I thought, well, what's the most dignified name that we could call it? And that's the little pink box, which will dispense as the free period pack. How long have I got? 2 minutes. I can wrap up 2 minutes. And so when we were putting together the vending machine, little did I know that I thought we could use your donated products of pads and tampons to fill the little boxes that we were going to get printed, and we could stock those vending machines. But we couldn't, because the sanitary items had GST on them, right? But they actually fell under the Therapeutic Goods Association Act. So we couldn't actually put them together ourselves. So it was, yes, I'm getting looks like that's a bit contradictory, isn't it? Yeah, it was. And yet we paid tax for 20 years on our sanitary items. So last year was my battle of politicians, which I never want to see another politician in all of my life. But we were able to get a federal petition signed. It is now Australia's most online signed federal petition ever. And we met with every political party, and we ended up with unanimous support. So in October last year, it was decided that the tampon tax would be removed, and the 1st of January the tampon tax was removed. So that was a huge part of the work we did, because it really didn't make any sense in the first place as to why it was. And ultimately, while we came in there and did a Stephen Bradbury, we really stood on the shoulders of many, many women who over the last 20 years had tried to remove the tampon tax. So that is Share the Dignity, pretty much, and I could keep going on and on and on, but I probably will allow you to ask some questions if anybody's got any questions, and enjoy the rest of your afternoon.